Today's program was brought to you by Roth, Wisconsin, makers of the world's best cheese and pioneers in the U.S. artisan cheese movement. For more information, visit rothcheese.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network, broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Good evening and welcome to
Fun About It
on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
I'm Mary Izette.
I'm Chris Kuzmi.
And I'm Rachel Jacobs.
And we're your weekly co-host through this weekly journey of all things fermented. What has happened to me?
Archived. Hey, all right. Archived on Stitcher, iTunes, and also right here on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. And we count on listeners' support such as yours for our weekly broadcast. We are very, very proud to be a part of Heritage Radio Network. It is the giving season. Happy holidays. Mary and I saw a bunch of tubas playing tuba carols in Rockefeller Center the other day. We're feeling the spirit. If you are too, please go to heritageradionetwork.org and donate today to help support this network of all things awesome and fermented. Archived on Heritage Radio Network. What's going on in the world today, Mary? Please.
I only have one event announcement. I think you do too. So this Saturday is our good friend Jason Saylor's new brewery. 1 year old. Strong Rope Brewery is 1 year old, and he is having a one-year anniversary cask festival this Saturday from noon to 11. If you haven't been to the brewery yet and you're in New York City, you should get there. This is a great excuse to do so. He's in Gowanus on President, just off 4th Avenue. Right, Chris?
That's
yes.
Right. That's
right.
Right.
Yes. I know. I should add that. Rachel lives very close to there. Anyway, the lineup looks amazing.
It's awesome. It's cask ale, and they're all doing it right.
Yeah.
He reached out a while ago to make sure everything was properly conditioned. And actually, some of the cask, not all these breweries have casks, but they borrowed from Alex Hall, who we thank a lot for the presence of cask ale in New York City. He has single-handedly turned this city from like 7 cask bars to upwards of 60. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and the brewery's come really far from opening. It just had, like, a little spot in Gowanus in, like, a garage. And, like, now I pass it all the time, and it's got all these events going on. They have trivia. They have bands playing. They have all sorts of cool friend breweries having stuff on their taps. And it's really cool to see how far they've come.
It's in the physical location of our old friend from Brooklyn, Brine.
It's in the old place of Pickle Shack.
He once used to be...
Yeah.
The other cool thing is that Jason is, he has a farm brewery license, like many other breweries, but he is the only one in New York City that's using around almost 100% New York State ingredients. I know that some of his specialty malts he gets from outside of New York State,
right.
But all of his base malts, all of his hops,
yep.
are all New York State grown. Mm-hmm. So that's really cool. It gives you an opportunity to taste what New York State farmers are producing for our breweries and also see what he's doing with it. He's doing a great job. His beers are excellent. And I'll be there on Saturday. So if you come, say hi.
Yeah, might as well stop by too.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm excited. They got some KCBC stuff that they're going to be showing on cask. Really like that place.
Cask conditioned ale, the most traditional way of drinking beer. It's beautiful. It's soft. It's lovely. It's flavorful. Bangerang-a-lingalicious. And also, bangerang-a-lingalicious, are IPAs. And Josh Bernstein is doing an IPA tasting and book signing at our friend John LaPaula's place from Bitter and Esters. He does a lot of great events over there always, and so we'd be remiss not to shout this one out on December 20th. John LaPaula and Joshua Bernstein at Bitter and Esters in Prospect Heights. Also, next year there's some spots available for Beer as a Career. They're doing a Cicerone tasting and examination course also at Bitter and Esters. Go to bitterandesters.com to find out more information. The Beer as a Career is going to be taught by Michael LaPlante, who's a certified Cicerone and graduate of the Culinary Institute of America. And the Culinary Institute of America is where Mary was last week.
So on Wednesday, I was invited by the crew at Brooklyn Brewery to do a what's called a Brew You Day at the Culinary Institute of America. So the CIA is in, I believe it's technically Hyde Park, which is a couple of hours north of New York City. We took the train up. It is a beautiful train ride, and the campus is absolutely amazing. I didn't get to see much of the campus, but the purpose of the day was actually to brew at the new brewery up there, which is a co-project between a collaborative project between the Brooklyn Brewery and the Culinary Institute of America. So they have a 7-barrel brew system. The head brewer is Hutch Kugman, who we've known for a number of years. Yeah, he's brewed in New York State for quite a few years.
Formerly of Crossroads.
Yep.
Ithaca before that, I think.
Yep. And I think Adirondack. Great Adirondack?
I believe you are correct.
Man, my brain is not working tonight. I apologize. And I haven't even been drinking. It's crazy. Anyway,
that's
so we got to check out their brew system as well as have lunch in the private dining room. We did a little beer and cheese pairing at the end with the cheese course at the end of our meal. And then Garrett Oliver, who is, of course, the head brewer and author and extraordinaire all-around guy at Brooklyn Brewery, led us through a tasting of some of his really unique and not necessarily available to the public beers. So I definitely want to pursue having both Hutch and then somebody also from the beer program at the Culinary Institute of America on a future show, hopefully during the upcoming winter season. But I do just want to talk a little bit about my day, because I was really impressed. First of all, this brewery is in a fishbowl. It's glassed in the new student commons, which includes a dining hall and a bunch of recreational areas, pretty typical of college campus life at the CIA. So it's basically being used currently by bachelor students. Now, the one thing about culinary institutes, which I'm not super familiar, I didn't go to culinary school, but they're very traditionally very wine oriented and oftentimes cocktail, and beer has not seen as much attention. So I think it's really cool because the chefs that are going through the bachelor program are getting to actually brew. They're doing everything from, milling the grain to running the brew house, designing a beer. They have some flagship beers, but they also do seasonal beers. They also learn to do things like yeast cell count on microscopes and all kinds of super neat stuff. And I think that's really important because as we're seeing, especially here in New York City, but I think across the country, we're seeing that a lot of the restaurants from the very high-end Michelin-starred restaurants all the way down are paying more attention to their beer program. A lot of them are incorporating beer into their foods. They're doing beer pairings or special beer dinners or just offering a really nice array of beers on their list. So I think it was super cool. The brewery system is really neat, and the lunch was absolutely amazing. We had different either beers from the CIA or Brooklyn Brewery paired with our each course of our lunch. And then, as I said, we had some really nice cheeses paired with beers as well. And then we had Garrett lead us through a tasting of 6 beers. So I actually put all the photos on Femen About It's Instagram and Facebook.
Femen About It.
Yeah, they look really pretty.
They do.
I was going to mention, I thought the cool thing is, so Brooklyn Brewery creates a series of what they call ghost bottles. These are all really special bottles of beers, often, actually almost all the time, barrel aged. They have it. Brooklyn Brewery actually has a huge number of barrels in their barrel warehouse in the Navy Yard. I think they have over 2,000 at the moment. And they're doing a lot of stuff. So those ghost bottles are so called that because they're not available to purchase. They bring them out for special occasions. They do a lot of tastings. Brooklyn Brewery does a lot of stuff. They have like their mash series all over the country, as well as beer pairing dinners with their chef, Andrew Gerson, and tastings led by Garrett or other people in the Brooklyn Brewery crew. But I thought it was really interesting. So I've had a lot of these ghost bottles because we go to a lot of Brooklyn Brewery events. But it was super interesting to see the lineup in this perspective. Garrett talked a little bit about the inspiration behind each beer. I had one beer that was actually aged in mezcal barrels, which I've had before, but it's
when
delicious.
You pair it with that,
taste of tequila.
Yeah, it tasted like mezcal. And I think the interesting thing is a lot of those beers are actually transformed almost into something else that I don't know. Obviously, the the beer, it is a beer, right? It went through the traditional, it's got traditional beer ingredients, the traditional brewing process, but using the barrels or a blend of, you know, different yeast and bacteria or different spices really transforms a lot of these beers. Garrett draws inspiration from the cocktail world as well as the culinary world when designing some of these beers, and it really comes out, and I think it's cool and really delicious, and I'm a person that dabbles across all areas of alcohol and food. But I think it's really something, if you have the opportunity to taste some of these beers, do so and do it with an open mind, because don't go in thinking, you know, you're not going to be tasting a standard IPA or a porter or a stout. These are beers that are really, I mean, almost elevating what beer means to me. Anyway, I was very impressed. So, and we actually...
So impressed that I had wanted to go to this cheese pairing that he was hosting the following night, but it was questionable
meaning
whether
that Garrett was co-hosting with another friend of ours, Aaron Foster, now owns Foster Sundry, which is an amazing cheese and meat and what do you call those shops? What am I trying to say here? Anyway, all the goodie shops. Yes.
High class one.
I really wanted to go to this on Thursday, but then Mary wasn't necessarily totally down. We weren't sure what we were going
to
do.
I need to stay home sometimes.
Right, right. And I got booked to work. I'm brewing at Gun Hill that day anyway, but when she was at CI, she's like, dude, we got to go tomorrow. So you did a Garrett Oliver pairing twice.
Two days in a row. Yeah. Also, I really wanted you. Some of the same beers. But I really wanted you to experience a little bit of what I had as well. Anyway.
Thank you, Mary.
I think it's. The point of this is I'm very impressed with the CIA for bringing, you know, for partnering up with Brooklyn Brewery and building this brewery, and that all of these culinary students at one of the best, if not the best, culinary institute of America or in this country are going to actually learn not only beer pairings and about tasting beer and evaluating beer and but also how it's actually made. I think that's a huge gap in education right now, is that a lot of people are learning how to taste beer, but they're not necessarily learning how it's made. Now, I think the Cicerone program does actually emphasize how it's made, but I think that's a really important part of planning a beer menu or pairing at a restaurant or, you know, thinking about beer and food pairings or even tasting beer, is knowing how it's made, knowing what ingredients could possibly have contributed to the aroma and flavors that you're tasting.
That's right.
Oh, the other thing is, so I was going to say is, the other cool thing, I know I'm almost done, The other cool thing about the CIA is that they are actually using their spent grain. So obviously there, some of the spent grain, they have a lot, you know, is going outside, but they're actually going to the extent where they're making flour of it, which I've done before and is pretty intensive. So they're drying and finally milling it. They're using it in like the waffles in the student dining hall and all kinds of stuff. And it also came up that they're probably going to make a beer with some of the bread left over from the campus. And coincidentally, Chris had just texted me.
We were talking to our friend John LaPolo, a great kind of publican and kind of center hub of all things awesome homebrew in New York City currently. He had been speaking to our friends from Toast Ale, who are here to join us in the studio tonight. Devin and Maddie, hello.
Hello.
Thanks so much for having us.
So what are your last names and what is Toast Ale?
My name is Devin Hardy.
And I'm Maddie Holtzman.
And we are representatives of Toast Ale, which is coming soon to the United States. And it is a pale ale brewed with bread. So, touching on that point exactly.
A pale ale brewed with bread. Well, we're going to take a really... not what?
Oh, not just any bread, but bread that would have otherwise gone to landfill. And that's kind of what's really exciting, at least to us, about it, is that we are recovering food that would otherwise be rotting somewhere and actually keeping it in the human food supply. And then all of the profits from Toast will actually go to nonprofit groups fighting food waste. So we're kind of trying to bring beer and environmentalism under the same umbrella even more intentionally.
Awesome.
With that, we're going to take a really quick break and talk to you a lot more about how we're going to launch that in New York City and in the United States in general. Foment about it.
Have you tasted the world's best cheese? Grand Cru Sauchois is the 2016 World Cheese Champion. Our partners at Roth, Wisconsin make this gorgeous alpine-style cheese in the rolling hills of Greene County, Wisconsin. Grand Cru Sauchois is produced by hand in Swiss copper vats and finished by aging on spruce planks. The quality milk and careful craftsmanship bring out the award-winning light floral notes, nutty undertones, a hint of fruitiness, and a mellow finish. Perfect with Riesling and Muscat, Grand Cru Sauchois is a guaranteed hit for any occasion. Check out their other offerings at rothcheese.com. You'll discover Buttermilk Blue and their newest release, Prairie Sunset, the golden-hued love child of Mimolette and Gouda. You'll also find recipes like the Raclette Reuben and tomato tartlets. Everything you need to know about the world's best cheese is at rothcheese.com.
Welcome back to Ferment About It. We're here in the studio with Devin Hardy and Madeline Holtzman, the United States representatives of Toast Ale, which is a company that makes beer out of spent bread. Not just any spent bread, but recovered spent bread, food that would otherwise be wasted. This is a tradition that has happened in the past. The original was known as kvass. Do you guys know of kvass? And could speak to kvass a little bit?
We can definitely speak a little bit to kvass, but even before that, this is a tradition that goes back even to ancient Egypt, where as a way of preserving calories, they would make... Oh, getting close to the microphone here. As a way of preserving those calories, they would both make bread and beer out of the same substances. So this goes back even well before that, and in terms of kvass.
Right, yeah, I think that beer technically actually started from the preservation of bread, because there was no other way to... like Devin said, maintain those calories in the human food supply. So I think that's how beer was discovered, and we're kind of just trying to bring it back to the roots, which is ironic because people think of this as so kind of crazy and innovative, but it's really, it's thousands of years old.
Right. So how did this idea arise, I guess? What was the spark?
No pun intended.
Yeah.
Hey. Hey-o.
So this was started in the UK in January, so it's about a year old, and to date they have saved upwards of 5,000 pounds of bread, and it was started by a really inspirational environmental activist named Tristram Stewart, who is very involved in the food waste reduction movement, because food waste is kind of an under-acknowledged contributor to climate change, and also just as an unacceptable truth in a world where not all are sufficiently nourished, obviously. So I think that Tristram became aware of how much even food pantries and soup kitchens are given more bread than they can distribute, and then the cost of handling that bread and basically sending it to landfill falls on them. And so I think in the food redistribution world, bread has always kind of been this question mark among people who take it upon themselves to make sure everyone has access to food. And there was a brewery in Brussels, which obviously is always kind of at the innovative front of brewing, who had made a beer out of bread that would have otherwise gone to waste. Tristram caught wind of that, and then they collaborated to create the recipe for Toast Ale.
What is that recipe for Toast Ale? or generally, is it not completely out of bread, right?
Not completely. About 40% of the grain bill is substituted with, now we're doing fresh surplus bread. Originally, it was a toasted recipe, thus the name. But now we're trying to even reduce the carbon footprint and make it as easy as possible to brew it, so that not only we can do it on a large scale, but we actually do have a recipe up on our website, so homebrewers can also go home and make this themselves.
I'm looking at it now.
Yeah.
I was like, fascinating. I'm like, wait, because when I was looking at the website, I was like, wait, they have the recipe? This is amazing.
Yeah. So
it's open source. It's great.
Spoke to carbon footprint, and that's a very important part of the company and what you stand by. So when we say you're launching in the United States, how are you launching? Are you bringing the beer from England that you're already making, or what is the program that we
hope to start? Absolutely not. We're not going to be importing. We'll be working with local brewers and bread sources to create the beer here, and then expand throughout the U.S. with other, hopefully we're going to kind of keep it as regional as possible and do some larger scale distribution out of New York City in the Northeast, but then partner with other breweries and food waste warriors around the country to brew different regional versions of Toast.
That's fantastic. And when you say regional versions, not necessarily sticking to the recipe that's currently been made, but varieties on?
Definitely, definitely. So the current recipe is an English pale ale. We are going to launch with a similar recipe, although we are going to tweak it to make it an American pale ale, make it a little bit hoppier for us hophead Americans. And then they're working on also developing a number of other beers kind of in the Toast line. So we're working on a wheat beer, an amber, a rye. You know, eventually we'll probably get into IPAs. And also a big part of our model is doing collaboration brews. So hoping to partner with all of the microbreweries who are already loved and respected and making the most delicious beer out there to kind of push the bill even further and get really creative with what other reclaimed ingredients we can incorporate.
I love it.
And do you have any of the local sources of the bread sourced yet? Like, how do you even get started with partnering with companies to give you the leftover bread?
It's the volume of leftover bread is pretty incredible. Even from small artisanal bakeries to the giant manufacturing scale, there is waste on every level. So for ourselves, we did do a home brew of toast, and we literally just went door to door and said, hey, we're working on this project. Do you have any surplus? And most people are really enthusiastic and supportive. Not only does it kind of give them a sense of positive engagement and trying to do something good, but it's getting rid of stuff that they would otherwise have to deal with hauling away and throwing out. So it's amazing the feedback we've gotten on every level, and it really hasn't been too hard to find enthusiastic bread supporters in all of the different parts of the market, from artisanal to large-scale wholesale manufacturers.
Have you ever seen it gone complete the cycle? Because, I mean, as brewers, we're often getting rid. We often donate our spent grain to brewer or to bread makers, and then would you make beer out of the bread, and then spent grain again coming back the other way?
Yeah. So, I mean, this is a really exciting kind of added point of the human consumption chain in this, because you can then turn the spent grain back into flour to make food and to make more bread. So we actually recently attended a dinner. We'll just give a quick shout out to a small startup called Rise, who are going around to local small-scale breweries and collecting the spent grain, turning it into flour that they're then putting on the market along with recipes of how to use it. And again, on the smaller scale, we made some amazing bread and cookies out of our spent grain when we brewed at home. So it's not hard to do. Anyone can do it. And it's so exciting to add not just one more kind of life cycle to the bread, which goes into beer, but adding another layer of bread again. So hopefully, yeah, we're completing that whole cycle.
I love it. Is there going to be a different website for Toast Ale for the United States thing, or is it going to be a branch or offshoot?
That is a really good question, and we are still in the works. We do have a Facebook page, a New York City Toast Ale Facebook page, but we probably will have one centralized global website, and then you will kind of choose whichever country is relevant, because what's also really exciting is we're really trying to initiate Toast Ale as a global movement and hoping that people will kind of partner with us around the globe, because bread waste is a problem wherever you go. So we're actually franchising Toast, definitely in Iceland and a few other countries, which I'm not sure whether or not I have liberty to say, but yeah, so I think there will be one centralized page, and then based on which country you're in, you can kind of go to what's relevant.
But quick plug, follow us at Toast Ale NYC on Facebook, and we'll be the same for Twitter and Instagrams. Toast Ale NYC.
Toast Ale NYC.
And where are you guys at as far as kind of the planning?
Yeah, what's your space?
What stage are we at?
Situation.
Yeah. Good question. Finding the bread has not been difficult. Finding the perfect partner contract brewery has been more. I mean, everyone who hears about this project is really excited, which we're so grateful, but we're trying to find the perfect balance of physically as close to New York City where we want to distribute as possible to reduce our carbon footprint, and also a brewery kind of with the space and capacity. So we've talked to a number of incredible breweries. We would be thrilled and honored to work with all of them, but still figuring that out. But our stated goal is to launch in New York City and the Northeast by spring, hopefully March or April 2017. So not too far off.
I'd be remiss not to to just quickly kind of smallly plug or note that kind of we had a little meeting, and there's going to be some Toast Ale presence represented by homebrewers at the Fermentation Festival, which, save the date, will be February 25th in the day at the Brooklyn Expo Center.
Which is in Greenpoint,
yes. Which is in Brooklyn, which is in New York, which is on planet Earth.
Yeah.
do you guys homebrew? Have you homebrewed before? How did you guys meet, and how did you guys end up partnering with Toast just individually?
I'll let you tell the origin story.
All good questions. We met just through mutual friends. We're both part of kind of a collaborative artistic community in Brooklyn, as cliche as that is. Devin truly is an artist. I just hang around. In terms of how we got involved with Toast Ale, is funny. We were also working together with a few other really wonderful, driven women to start a bread pudding company, actually based on the very same concept that we became aware of how much unacceptable quantities of bread are currently going to landfill. So we thought bread pudding was a solution, and we're kind of just in the beginning phases of getting that launched. And then kind of by serendipity and fate, met Tristram, the founder of Toast, and heard about this, and just instantly the light bulb went off, and we said, this is so much more scalable than bread pudding. There's such a bigger market globally. It's such a longer shelf life. And they just coincidentally were hoping to launch in the U.S. starting in New York. So just, I don't know, the universe kind of conspired to make it happen. And homebrewing, I'll let you answer that.
Yeah. So we are definitely beer lovers and enthusiasts, but are just kind of getting our toes wet in the homebrewing world. So we have attempted a few, and one, we have brewed Toast before. Its success was questionable. We had a fire incident with cheesecloth. We actually dealt with part of the process in Maddie's shower. We were sparging in the shower together.
Awesome.
That sounds a lot worse than I meant to do.
And we were all doing that in front of a German documentary crew who were making a documentary on food waste. So it was high pressure, questionable success situation.
But yeah, we're really excited about being part of this community, and it's been amazing. All of the outreach we've done, we've visited Bitter and Esther's and some of the other amazing homebrewers. Flagship is doing an incredible series of Women in Craft Brewing. Shout out to them. Mm-hmm. And everyone's been so generous with their time and their knowledge, and we've just been tasting like crazy too, which is really exciting. So we're excited to get more into the brewing process of it, but are definitely on the novice level of that part of the game.
I love it. We look forward to hearing more of your adventures. Toast Ale NYC. That's the Instagram and Twitter. Toast Ale NYC.
And Facebook.
And Facebook. Awesome.
So I also have to mention Kvass. If you'd like to know more about Kvass, I actually have a recipe in my book, Speed Brewing. I would be negligent to not mention that. But we did episode 8, one of our early...
with Dan Woodsky.
Yeah. So he wrote a book on Kvass. Anyway, so if you're looking, if you guys, you know, if you want some practice out there making Kvass, Kvass is actually pretty easy and pretty quick and very related to Toast Ale. Also, you can check out the recipe on the toastale.com website if you would like to explore brewing with bread other than kind of a traditional Kvass. You can definitely, usually when I make Kvass, I do make it with some malt. You can make Kvass with 100% bread, but I find it's a little more...
sturdy, shelf-stable.
Yeah, and more... a little more approachable, especially when you're starting to incorporate bread into your brewing, to mix it up with a little bit of malt.
A high bread.
Thank you.
Bread puns to come.
Yep. Rachel, did you make yogurt this week?
I did make yogurt this week. Oh, that's a random way to end this. All right. Yeah, I did make yogurt this week. It occurred to me that, I'm making a lot of cheese, and I eat cheese a lot, but I eat more yogurt than cheese. So I attempted to, I call it a last minute yogurt because it only incubated for as long as I was sleeping, which was only like 5 or 6 hours. So it didn't get that bitterness, that tartness. It worked out pretty well, and then I strained the yogurt actually after, and it's actually really tasty. It's very creamy, and it's just made from like regular milk. The starter culture I used was Faye, which I hear was really good for that.
And what is it, Faye?
Faye, yeah, the Greek yogurt.
Yep.
F-A-G-E, that's how I think that's how you pronounce it. I'm pretty sure that's how you pronounce it.
I always said phage. I don't know.
Faye.
But Faye. I'm hooked on phonics.
Yeah. Yeah, so it turned out pretty good. I'm going to make some more and maybe incubate it for longer. I didn't even need a yogurt maker. I just stuck it in my oven with the light on, and that was it. It was great.
Did you, so you said you strained it,
yes,
it to thicken it.
Did you
do something with the whey?
I didn't. I ended up dumping it. I was trying to figure out something to do with it. So I strained it at work, so I didn't really, I didn't have a container to
fair
put it
enough,
in.
Fair enough.
Really last minute yogurt, like it is incubating.
Oh, man,
Dave, where'd you find
the
sound effect pack?
Thank you, I'll be here all week.
But anyway, I'm going to try it again, and I can bring in some for you guys to taste.
And one thing, easy thing you could do with your whey is make whey soda.
That's right.
Basically mix the whey with a little bit of, I usually make like a little bit of sugar and some of any type, sugar, honey, something, and then some fruit juice or fruit.
Or even tea.
Or tea.
Yeah,
tea.
Ooh, that sounds really good. All right, I got to do something with the whey.
So one other thing I should mention.
I like that iced tea at the lemonade stands commercial, by the way.
The Geico commercial? Okay.
He's like, iced tea? Lemonade. Read the sign.
Oh, goodness.
Never mind.
Anyway, one last thing, Mary.
One last thing. The other thing, when I was up at the CIA, there was a student that was dining with us, and he had mentioned, we were talking about miso because we just had the miso show recently. And so we were talking about koji and miso and other things you can do with koji, and he had mentioned that there's a technique to kind of fake that lengthy dry aging of meat using koji. So you're basically treating koji. And then lo and behold, like 4 days later, I am reading Rob Hendel's Facebook post, who we've had Rob on a couple times. He like ferments all kinds of stuff and is an amazing guy. And he is actually koji culturing beef as well, which is awesome. So I think, that is something, let's see, he's doing it for getting results similar to 45-day aged beef in a matter of 48 hours. So pretty cool, something else that you can do with koji. And I should say that Rob is teaching a fermentation intensive on March 4th and 5th. So it's going to be weekend long, and I think he's probably going to cover that as well as a whole bunch of other fermentation things.
Rob is awesome. He hooks it up. I got to entice him to come down for the fermentation festival.
He's fantastic. I also follow him on Facebook, and like every other post he does is just like an amazing, innovative ferment that he's been working on in his spare time, and I don't know how he has any spare time.
He lives on a farm.
I know. There's no spare time on a farm. It's amazing.
Fine.
Anyway, shout out to Rob for being
Shout out
amazing.
To Rob Handel. Can't handle the Rob. All right.
Wait, no, I got one more thing.
Okay, one more thing.
I didn't write
You said the one more thing
I know,
with the last
I know,
thing.
But I didn't write anything down.
Come on, do the thing.
But I do want to mention, obviously we're in holiday season. There's probably some gift giving going on in your life or shopping or something. I personally am making a lot of stuff right now and shopping locally if I do any shopping, but I would just ask you to think about that. Some really good ideas for fermenters or homebrewers in your life is, of course, use your local homebrew store as a resource, either a gift certificate. Maybe you have a homebrewing friend that wants to get into cheese making or fermentation of something else. Then maybe get them a kit or the supplies or a gift certificate to get that. Another great gift would be a membership to the American Homebrewers Association.
Yep.
Or Slow Food, or another food-oriented program. You could also give them a gift of membership to Heritage Radio Network.
Yes.
I can't, not mention that. but just something to think about. Another thing, there's a lot of other things that you could do that are, I would say, earth-friendly as well as very conscientious. Maybe you have friends that are interested in learning to homebrew or learning to ferment. Give them a gift certificate to give them a private class of fermentation or homebrewing. So those are all just, I'd like people to think about that. That's what I'm thinking about.
Yeah, definitely. The gift of good beer and homemade delicious food.
Ooh, also, of course, support your local craft breweries or local fermenters. If you have a kombuchery near you, they might have gift certificates available or growlers or bottles or whatever. Think about giving your friends a gift certificate to a tasting or a craft brewery, growlers, whatever.
It has been a thing recently. Also, you hear a lot or a decent amount now about mulled beer. So if anybody has any success with mulled beer and has mulled beer recipes, I'd love to hear them. So shout us out, Ferment About It. At Ferment About It, or go to our Facebook page. I want to hear more about mulled beer. They're doing it at a Cascade Brewing Company, and they're doing some other things. Apparently, it works really great with sour beers. They do it at the tasting room at the Rare Barrel, I believe. But it's pretty cool. I'd love to hear more of it.
We have to start trying to make some,
but I haven't done it yet.
I had a flip thing going for a while.
You did?
Yeah, which is like a cocktail made with eggs, and I can't remember. It's been a long time. Usually, you can use beer, sometimes liquor, but
well,
it's in that same kind of line.
It's mulled beer season. Get on it and let me know about it. Toast Ale NYC, Twitter for Men About It, and Facebook. Devin and Mandy, thank you so much.
Thank you for having us. It's been lots of fun.
For Men About It.
I look forward.
Talk to you later. At you. Not I.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.